The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's nearly 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. That rhymes there. I'll use that again. And of course, we are waiting right now. Well, the reason why we're a couple of minutes early is because we're waiting for the Bank of England to raise rates or pause. I think that's two of the options. There are no people saying they may pause. I can't see them doing that. Can you, John?
It would seem unlikely, but you never know. We had a vote, didn't we? There was some...
It seems roughly
split between pause and hike. And
yeah.
There's a few outliers suggesting a cut, but that seems very unlikely.
This is what we're looking at right here. But yes, I mean, there's some in the last few days, because the CPI data is coming better than expected. There are some institutions and banks saying, I think Goldman and Citi are saying they're going to pause. But that would make you suggest the Bank of England are only looking at really short term, just reacting to yesterday's figures, which of course is last month's figures. So it's looking backwards. They need to look a bit forwards. They need to get Mystic Meg on the case. Remember Mystic Meg?
Of course.
I think she's dead now.
I think she is.
She didn't see that coming, did she?
Oh, dear.
Sorry. So we are at 5.25%, of course. The forecast pretty much now is 5.5, half a quarter of a percentage point. And we got 30 seconds left. Thing is, did you see what the Fed did yesterday? They paused, but they did say there may be another rise coming.
Well, this is what they've been doing for a while, isn't it, really?
I know, but why are they doing that?
Hawkish pauses. Just to give themselves an option.
Stop doing that. I mean, it's almost trying to scare people a little bit. I think.
Well, it's sort of like the old forward guidance, isn't it? And we all know how that ended.
Yeah, okay.
If there is any data worth looking at, it's probably in the next update, PLC.
I'm saying they go with what the market thinks. I think it's in a quarter percentage point. There we go. It should be. There we are. Oh, no. They've paused.
Paused. Wow.
They have paused. Wow. Wow, there's big news there. Let's see what's happening.
Market's going to react well to that.
Yeah, that's really odd. So let's have a look at the bonds here. And you see 2-year is jumping up a bit. Let's have a look at the currencies. That's quite surprising. Yeah, look at that. The pound against the dollar. It is falling.
Yeah. You would expect that to be the case. I was going to say, just sort of, I was reading Next's update this morning.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting chart in there, which is related to inflation. Fabric, factory gate, and freight price inflation continues to fall. So they are saying that, prices of these things are falling, you know, much faster than expected. So they've revised their autumn-winter cost price inflation down from 3% to 2%. And then into 2024, it seems to get lower still. So, you know, there is evidence to suggest that inflation is now washing out the system very, very quickly. And you know, Next, very good company, very good at reporting, have put that rather neatly. So maybe not such a surprise after all.
Yeah, I'd like to see what their thoughts are on that, because that's quite surprising. I mean, you know, in anticipation of, you know, the markets are always a bit bearish before an announcement of this, but they are all down. You know, FTSE 100 down 0.7%. FTSE AIM All Share is the biggest dropper, just shy of 0.94%. But rises here, JD Fashion, Next, of course, you said Next results out and saying that the costs are coming down very quickly, faster than they thought. Mark Spencer with them, Auto Trader, Admiral Group. What's the fallers here today then? Now we've got Barclays, Ocado.
The least said about that, the better, I think.
But you know what? We had a comment, coming a bit late yesterday from Simon, saying, my favourite small cap is UPGS and Up Global. So, and he did say, Ocado is a joke.
Yes. I agree. UP Global Sourcing, back when we used to do the stock screen podcast. That popped out of one of the screens a while back. Yeah. It's Salter. Remember the old sort of scales,
yes.
Kitchen scales and bathroom scales, all that sort of stuff. And it's really it's been transforming the business. You know, much more sort of direct selling and really really good business. As I say, it popped out of the stock screen at really really cheap.
Yeah. But this industry decision, it's good now. You get mortgages coming down and, it'll help a little bit. But people start to worry now. Why are they pausing? Have they seen something that's a bit worrying in the figures? You know, why are they doing this? That's the concern. But we'll have to listen to Wade through his boring speech afterwards. For half an hour to find out what they're doing there. But there's a quick look at bond a second, the 2-year. Yeah, it's tending to rolling over a little bit. There we are. Okay, very interesting. If any of you get any heads up, by the way, listen, hit that subscribe button and comment. If any of you listen to Andrew Belly, he will be doing a speech, I think it's 1 p.m., is it, something like that? But if, you know, if he's given any indicators of why they've paused, let us know in the chat, even if you want to make it up. And it's amusing. Let us know in the chat there. Okay, let's have a look at the front page of Vox here. Let's go straight. I want to go straight to look at literally. Here we go. Some of the risers and fallers. We do content. Couth. I did hold Couth a while back, but I thought they rallied. They're a bit too expensive now. But most followed Destiny Pharma, FCS. They had received a bid yesterday, which, like, their cyber sort of company that's been dwindling massively, but they rallied strongly yesterday. They're falling back. Silver Bullet there, Premier African Minerals. That's a Zulu Lithium update. So, Johnny Boy, what are you looking at here? Synergid. Narrows loss. I looked at these. They're one of the biggest fallers, Synergid, today. But they, you know, they are in they clinical trials, aren't they?
And reasonably well advanced as well. It's antivirals. For sort of lung illnesses. It's sort of like an inhaled product, and you know, should it work? It would be the only antiviral treatment for various, you know, delivered straight into the lungs. So you know, it looks quite good. They've got plenty of cash. They reckon
that's
know,
what I thought.
Certainly enough cash to get them through. You know, their planned trials, you know, a couple of phases more.
They're based in Southampton, right? The hospital, not far from me, of course. And my son's got a lung condition. And for a while I wanted to get into these. And then during COVID, they released some positive tests on their trials there. And this is what happened. I didn't for a while, I should get into them because they're in an area I sort of like them doing. And literally in one day, they went by 420%.
Wow.
And for a while, I said, should I get into those in an area, you know, and a local hospital, they are testing there and all that stuff. But I didn't. But yeah, you're right. They are sort of like clinical trials. It's obviously not generating any revenue, but they've got cash balance of 14.6 million. The loss for 6 months was 5.2. So it will be.
Already got as much cash the same as market cap.
Market cap.
Not a lot of confidence that it's going to get these products, these drugs through. But the trial results all seem fairly positive.
Well, the thing is, what you have to look at there is when a company is obviously breaking even, that cash level stays the same. But when you're burning, so you know, 5 million and a half, then this was a period ending the 30th of June.
Mm.
So literally, we are what three months on from that now, and so it'll be a lot less than that. But they were around about that level in cash on the market cap. Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll be cutting back the R&D spend because of how advanced they are through some of the trial phases. So
So
the cash burn won't be quite as high as it was.
This is an interesting little company, isn't it? Light Science Technology. It did rise. I like the chart there. And do you want to explain what they do? Because
it's controlled environment agriculture.
Yeah.
They are
a micro cap, but a mini, a nano cap. They are a 9.99 million market cap. They've been awarded grant funding to do what?
Transformative reduced input potatoes. It's a great.
You can't get less
transformative reduced input potatoes.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday about non-sexy can generate sexy returns. Diploma, one of the best performing shares of all time. We've never heard of it, pretty much. But what do they do again? They're even so boring. I've even forgot what they do. It's picks and shovels, isn't it?
Widgets for the hospital for the healthcare industry
and gaskets for the hospitals.
Very necessary.
But so the transformative reduced input potatoes.
Yes,
I love that.
It's all very important. You know?
Yeah, it is.
And actually, if you look at the homepage, there's another article that Lawrence put together, a sector report on water. Water wastage, water preservation, protection. But agriculture is a big user of water, and you know. Obviously, and then a heavy user of fertilizer. That fertilizer can create environmental issues through the runoff of nitrates into water supplies. This project is about using sort of sensor technology to more effectively apply fertilizer. So not over fertilizing, which is where you get the runoff problem. So really, it's about making agriculture a lot cleaner.
That's not a catchy phrase. What is it again? Transformative.
Reduced input potatoes. I like it.
I don't know why it makes me laugh.
I like it.
Transformative input reduced potatoes.
Reduced input
potatoes. If you work in that area and you're single, Bella, and you're out on the pole. I wouldn't reveal your job title if that's what you do, because that is not going to attract the ladies. Or the gentlemen, depending on which side
you
back on.
You would be surprised, in Suffolk at least.
it'll play better in different parts of the country. That's true.
I know a man who works in a big water company in their sewage department, and I've never seen someone able to hold a group of attractive young ladies in thrall with discussions of sewage as well as this man.
You must have a bit of charm as well, though. It's all about how you deliver it, the energy you've got, I suppose. Anyway, so David White, great show. I'm a daily listener. Well done. Thank you, David. Just listen, put a comment there. If you've never commented before, you know, break that, lose that virginity. Get in there. Dave P says, it looks like it's a close call on the MPC committee, 5-4.
Yeah, very close.
So there's a close call. But that is very interesting. Oh, they've paused.
Yeah.
They come up with the reasons, they'll say, oh, yeah, we've been looking at the data. But essentially, it just comes down to a vote, doesn't it? Who thinks what?
But it is a vote. Let's have a look at those comments later, and we'll obviously discuss them again tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Drip, worth checking out Lauren's piece here. Let me just put this up and share the screen. But six companies helping to protect the world's water.
Yeah.
We just discussed technologies companies and what intelligence they have, water. In fact, I need to put I think that's going to have a little rally later on. I'm going to put an alert on that, because that chart, I do like it when a chart comes down at that. But they are profitable, aren't they, water, I think?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, water intelligence there. Water is ticker there. And Araqua, again, that's another one I've got on the watch list, because they've been massively hit, and Araqua. But I do like their business. I like what they're doing. And maybe they've been hit again. Now, they've had a bit of a rally of late, the big pull-off. Right. I never like a V-shaped rally. And so, you know, I was going to invest in these, and I had previously, but dipped back out before the big drop happened, thankfully. But I do like this. The V-shape, no, I thought it was going to roll over a little bit. It now has to sort of settle around this level. So that's
really good technology.
I do like, yeah, they got water technology. And in fact, I think it took a bit of a hit yesterday on the heat, on Rishi Sunak's announcements, because they are into heat pumps and all that stuff. But they're more at a sort of council level, and they just industrial level, sort of blocks of flats and stuff. So
yeah,
I do like them though.
It's one of the things they do, sort of flow control, so water flow control, which actually has the sort of secondary effects, or maybe even the primary effects, of actually making sort of heating systems much, much more efficient.
Yeah.
So, you know, as well as, you know, using water more efficiently, it's actually helps homes produce heating more efficiently. Yeah. So, you know, lots of strings to this bow, this company. And I mean, this was in fact the company I was alluding to yesterday, you know, when it came to, you know, the government sort of, you know, messing around with certainly environmental targets, but just creating this uncertain business environment. And unfortunately, Enerqua has found itself, you know, hit by that. But that doesn't, you know, detract from the fact it's got brilliant technology, and, you know, there will be demand for this. There is demand for this.
You know. They're doing very well. And in fact, I mean, I think off the top of my head, they're going to be doing around about 90 million of revenue. And they are, what's their market cap, like 35 and that. But I would say if they can get above that, I mean, it has been a good trade from the big sell-off here. You can see that candlestick bouncing down and then bounce. It's almost like a cork in water. When that happens sometimes, you get a big sell-off and it bounces back up. That's a good sign, you know. And there's obviously names to these kind of candles.
The other thing that Enerqua was doing, which is interesting, is irrigation technologies. So it's contract out in India, and it's eyeing up something in Spain as well. They buy in a lot of sort of technical controls to make irrigation systems more efficient. And life sciences technology is exactly in that space as well.
Okay, it's a very interesting space. So I would say on a chart level, because if you can get above those previous highs, 135, 140, it's maybe the downtrend has ended there. With water, it's not quite as simple. I mean, they still seem to be in a downtrend here. I don't know why that is, but that's a cake of a downtrend from 14 quid down to 355. And I would wait for it to get above this. I put an alert there on 450, didn't get above that. Maybe worth moving that down now to previous support, which is 4 quid. And if they can get back above that, because you can see it's dipped down that couple of times, and now it's broken down below 4 quid. But what else? So Interaqua, water.
Ondo is just a leak, but yes. We've spoken about that quite a lot.
An interesting chart, Ondo. I've been looking at this for a while, and like I said, it's had a bit of a you know, it's had a massive rally from 7 pence up to 38 pence, but it is finding it a bit tricky here. It's coming off a little bit. Now we know warrants like 21.5 pence there or 22 pence, so maybe people are cashing in less, you know, profit for those people there. So maybe that's part of the pressure. This selling of warrants, who knows? You know, warrant holders selling shares.
It's had a good run. You kind of expect this, every now and then. There's a couple that are really interesting.
Strix. Ooh.
Yeah, Strix had a bad day today.
Yeah, I mean, they were one of the fallers today, aren't they, Strix? And they came up with, in fact, this look, Kettle is the ticker, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
And what I looked at here, so 190 million market cap, can you explain what they do, John?
Well, they make controls for kettles, you know, so, I mean, so it's really quite simple. They, you know, they make sure your kettle switches off when it should and is safe.
Yeah, but I just thought that's a very niche. I mean, only kettle, I don't know, it's a big enough market, I suppose, but I thought it's very niche.
Massive. Anyway. The whole investment case, you know, looking back a few years, was that actually there are a lot of markets where actually kettle control safety isn't taken seriously enough. So there was going to be this big push that you know, for sort of safety push that would drive its markets. It's all gone a bit wrong.
Yeah. You're not taking your kettle control safety very seriously, all right?
I am taking it, yes.
You see a guy working in that area, he's got a, you know, a high vis jacket and a clipboard, isn't he? Check out your kettle
important.
Safety.
Very
no, it is, but they literally bowled round here and then they have a big dip down here, down 40% a day. Whoa.
Yeah.
And if you look here, they've got net debt of 93, it's gone up by, is that right? It's gone up
really
51%.
Really piling on the debt.
Listen to this. I did scroll through here, right? It's very, very positive, pretty much all the way down. I thought, where's the outlook? Where's the outlook? Where's the outlook statement? And I thought, they're trying to. There we go. There we go. And they did say whilst recent orders are tracking in a positive direction, evident from the increase in sales in Q2, this remains in smaller quantities than expected as customers continue to manage their cash balances prudently. Strix now anticipates a return to a normalised growth take longer. And for there to be a decrease in short-term revenues in this category. That's all you need is a bit of a profit war in this market. It doesn't matter how far you bury it down. For a long time, I've often thought that it's been AIs. M&Ms use it, the market makers use AI. Because honestly, it doesn't matter how much you bury a little profit warning, they get hit. They find out straight away.
They're
clever.
Yeah,
they do. It's all, maybe that's it. You always look. I mean, I think if you look at things, you look at the outlook, you know, pretty much straight away. Because shares are about what's going to happen, you know, how much money you're going to make in the future or how much you're going to lose in the future. And that's what you do. Look at the outlook, go straight to it, and then realize, what's ahead? Because what's reported has happened. That's past history. What's coming next is what's important, isn't it? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's really been having a tough old time. And this has been going on for a while. And what it is trying to do is move into new markets, and water filtration purification is where why it's in this report. Recently acquired a company that does, you know, tap systems, you know, very sexy stuff. Very sexy. Stelrad missed out on this report by a whisker. More sexy stuff. Radiators.
Why the radiators and the kettles get together? Those companies just seem, you know, it's all about.
The water business here is growing fast, but yeah, just having a tough old time. The company their shares are flying at the moment is Micellex. This is basically the separation of oil and water. It's sort of, environmental protection, groundwater. Where there's been groundwater contamination, so, you know, works with the oil and gas industry, you know, that sort of thing. Big contracts out of the Middle East.
Many years ago, I spoke to is it a lady that's CEO here?
I don't know.
I think it is because, look at that. And that's why, look at this. That's why the outlook statement is quite high up here. Because they're saying, you know, in Micellex, you know, they're not burying this outlook statement. They're saying it's getting good. The oil and gas markets have been robust throughout H1 and are forecast to continue to be so into 2024 and beyond. So they're literally, you know, they're quite bullish here. But it's like, Connie Mixon.
Okay.
Yeah, so quite a few years back, I talked to them. They were literally a 5 million market cap then, I think they were. But
they're now 17 and a bit. So, turnover's growing nicely, on the cusp of profitability, 2024. It's break even essentially, and then 25 starts to grow quite rapidly from there. This stuff again is all regulatory driven. environmental regulation, all that sort of stuff. And the final company in the report, Director Plus, you know, does something similar using graphene. So again, separating or, you know, oil cleanups, or as I was working with a steel company in Romania, separating out the sort of byproducts of steel production process and water. So all of these companies basically helping to make sure that the water supply, which is surprisingly scarce, drinking water, seeing as we live on a planet that's mostly water, not a lot of it can be drunk.
Yeah, no, I looked into that a while back, where we get water from. And I was, so, when you're investing in companies, you're forced to learn about industries that you'd never do before. And I've learned so much by researching companies, and I can't remember what it was before, but about separation plants and all that, desalination plants and all that, and where you get water from. But it's very interesting. Gregory says, is diploma going to keep going higher? I don't know. What was the PE on that? Was it expensive?
It wasn't punchy. I'll have a quick look. Hang on.
Yeah. And also, JD Sports is going to keep heading up. Is JD Sports? So JD Sports, John, you buying? I'm slowly adding. Certainly have a brand strength and own a lot of businesses. 38 countries, consistent revenue growth over time, strong balance sheet. It's a stock market star, JD Sports.
And, it is. We talked about it the other day.
And if you get any weakness in the share price sometimes, there are companies like that. If they suffer from it's like I was gutted. I didn't jump into this on the COVID dash for cash crash. Because literally, look at that. If I show the chart here, you know, when you get these one-off global events, you realize it's a buying opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Because look at that. It literally dipped from 177 down to 60 pence, JD Sports. And then now, even after this rollover, it's at 141. And so, look at that. It did hit 235, a big company. But let's have a look. The chart as yet, I'm not convinced of that yet. Because, you see, it's having issues getting over that 50-day moving average. And so you've got a series of pretty much, lower highs here. But if it can roll down, but this is maybe a nice little, level here. It's flattened out. Maybe that's the bottom. Who knows? But I'd like to see it get above that, sort of 150 level and move up. But it's a good company. Did you find the PE on?
I did. It's not, diploma. Not cheap, actually. Forecast PE 23, forecast PE 25.4. Now, what I would say is, just because something has a high PE doesn't make it a bad investment or overvalued if it's growing quickly. Diploma's earnings are forecast to grow 14.5% this year, 7% the year after. But, what sometimes it's good to look at is whether there's an upgrade cycle. I haven't actually gone away and done this yet. So you can look back and see the earnings forecast history. And what you should be looking for with a company, particularly one that's highly rated, is, has it consistently guided earnings higher? Because 25 times earnings isn't cheap, but, I'd need to go to justify buying that. I'd need to really have a good look at the business and understand, how defensive is it? Has it got a moat that keeps competition out? How is it delivering this growth? Is it sort of organic or underpinned by acquisition? Let's have a look at the net debt.
But also, like I said, I did say, the Motley Fool, I think brothers they are, one of them literally deliberately goes for companies that he thinks is special, and the higher the PE to him, the more convincing. Because he thinks, they'll grow into that. And because they have something special, many companies have been, many star performers over the years have been very highly rated, and people have not touched them because the PE has been too high, but they've gone on to perform, and he gives an example of Tesla and stuff like that.
I've actually found the earnings forecast history for diplomas actually on the bottom of the same page I was already looking at on SharePad. This has been consistently guiding its profit forecast higher.
Yeah, and like I say, we use sort of peer sector averages or round numbers, it's 10 PE, that's not bad, or 20 PE, but we're lumping all these businesses in together. You get certain businesses that are outperformers that deserve a higher rating. They deserve to be more expensive businesses because they're outstanding in their field. They're better than everything. So it's like, trying to lumping all teams together, football teams and rugby teams, when you know some teams are better than other teams and they're more likely to win. It's very interesting there. And the final one on that drip was Director Plus, which we've covered those a couple of times.
Okay.
Let's go up the front page, see what Premier African Minerals. It's a favourite of traders and all that stuff. But they are literally, you know, Premier's lithium and tantalum project. This is in Zimbabwe, isn't it? So I mean, you know, it depends. Oh, they got a little video in there. Let's see. Can you hear that or not?
No.
Oh, I can.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Is that? That's the Star Wars. That's the Mill Circuit Zulu plant there.
Okay.
They've said essentially it's commencing. So let's look at the Premier. But it's been it is a good trading stock, but it's been a consistent. In fact, it's had a cracking rally from.
Really has, isn't it?
138, it's a tripled, so that's where you get the hype built in. But if you scroll back a bit further, then where it's come from. It's come from 1.7 pence, and now it's sort of half of 1 pence, but it's gone down massively. But it's always a well-traded stock. But like I said, depends if you want to trade it, invest, but will you invest in Zimbabwe? You know, who knows? 88 Energy, Hickory Well, Float Testing, Blue Jays, a big four of the day. They raised some money recently. And now they're saying they need more work to shore up their, it's down 21%, to shore up this project, this Dundas Ilmenite project. They need more work done in it. So the revised minerals, so that has fallen down again. A bit of a nightmare there. Vela Technologies, very similar bit of news for Vela and for Sizzle Biotechnologies. This is a company that...
It's an investment company, isn't it?
Yeah, Vela is, yes. And Sizzle Biotech is different, though. That's, looking for cancer testing via DNA. But they've both got, both those companies have an economic interest in this asset, which I think was spun out from Sizzle. I don't know. But this was bought off them by this other company. It's now going to list on NASDAQ. But once it does list, they can sell their shares in this company that's listing on the NASDAQ tomorrow, I think it is. And so they'll get 4 million out. Sizzle Biotech will get about 3.25 out if they can sell. There's a lot of selling going on in this company, first day trading, that's going to list. So that's why it's rising, I think. So they've basically got some extra cash coming in. That's why they're rising. They're 4.8 million market cap and they're going to get 4 million in cash. So literally, before this rose, it's about 2 million market cap and they get 4 million cash. But let's look at the chart on the back. I can't understand why Sizzle isn't. Sizzle is a bigger market cap, I think. That's why it's not rising as much. It's a bit bigger, Sizzle Biotechnology. So it's not rising.
Yeah, it's a nice little jumper.
Yeah. Cool. What are we looking at? Let's go to Fallers. It's always worth learning some lessons. Well, Van El.
Van El. It was only a very brief AGM statement. Van El does groundworks, piling.
Yeah.
Construction projects, mainly in the UK. But it's about to move into Canada, specifically Canadian Rail, which is a huge, huge industry. But Van El, I guess the worry with Van El is that it's got exposure to house building.
Yeah.
The house building industry is very, very weak. I saw the latest PMIs for house building, and it's a reading of 40, which, shows... points to sharp contraction, but Van El is well diversified and they've got other stuff going on in sort of civil and commercial construction. They do a lot of work with railways. So they're working on the Trans-Pennine upgrade. They do work on smart motorways. They've actually got new solutions for house building, which should help it sort of position it well for when that sector starts to recover. And what we've seen today with interest rates could actually mean that our view of warehouse building could be in the next 12 months is a little bit too gloomy.
Have you seen MJ Gleeson, for example? I mean, you can see here Glee is to go, which is a smaller house builder, but nevertheless very good. If you look at it, that's high, sort of lower highs, but it's trying to break out there. We're off the lows here of 350 or 420. That's quite a nice move. And if it can get above that, look at that, a bottom there, a higher low here. So that's looking quite good. I think, I'm not saying house builders will now rock it, but I think we may have seen the lows they may go sideways for a while,
it's often worth sort of having a dig around some of the statements that are put out by investment companies, in particular investment trusts. And I noticed one today from a small investment trust called Aurora. And there's some really really nice commentary in it around specific sectors and specific problems. But they've looked at house building. And actually, what they've said is, you know, even if you've got lower output, house builders can sort of continue to generate cash by playing with their sort of the replacement cost of land. How do they put it, cash is value and accounting earnings are not, and eventually the market ends up recognizing its mistake, but for now it makes for very depressed valuations of wonderful investments. So they are very bullish on house builders as investments at the current valuation, despite the fact that there's been something of a hiatus in building.
Well, look at that. I mean, the low here is back in December 2022. Mm. And then we've had lots of, let's be honest, there hasn't been a lack of bad, gloomy news around the housing sector and mortgages and all that stuff. And yet it's, you know, a higher low there. And it's really trying to break up above that there. It's an interesting company I did invest in a while back, and I liked it. So I thought, you know, children's mental health is a massive issue. We're seeing it, you know, happening. And I invest in Couth around at this level at 180. And I sort of got out up here because I thought they're now getting silly expensive, even though they announced a big deal with,
Pennsylvania. Contact,
California.
Yeah. Oh, California. Yeah, million. California, that's right.
Yeah. And but I got out and they raised money. Very rare this happens. I got around here, I think, took a profit. And then also, I thought they need to raise money because that contract is so big in the US, they need to employ some people and get some systems up and running there. And then they raised money at 320, not 3 quid, I think it was. And then it gapped up to like 320. It's very rare a company rises 10 million quid at a premium to the share price because it's a market leader. You know, it's got apps and all this stuff with the NHS in the UK. But still, you know, it's come out with its results there. It's dropped off because you always get this realization was it's still a bit toppy, isn't it? But they do say top line will be no less than 34 million this year. But even so, that's 3x sales. And as yet, they're going to be spending a lot of money developing, you know, their systems and apps. So I'm not quite sure how that will translate into profit. But it's worth keeping an eye on if it weakens, because it's a market leader in a fast-growing area, which is, you know, mental health pretty much for children and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, full-year pre-tax profit forecast is a loss of just under a million, you know, very marginally under a million. So, and then swinging to quite a rapid profit increase in 2024, 4 million.
How much?
So
4 million.
4 million, yeah. At that point,
that
the shares...
was that 25 times?
No, 37 times. PE forecast. So, for 24. So, yeah, you're right. Not cheap, but, you know...
But that's a very good example of, you know, looking at taking advantage. It's a very good company, obviously, because they are a market leader in this area and they are a quality company. So it's one for the watch list on weakness. If they do roll over further here, because we are now at the placing price, I think, where they raised 10 million. That's a good sign. You know, if you can get in the placing price where lots of clever institutional investors did get in, then there could be volatility. There's a gap here. It may even fill that. If it comes down to sort of this area, definitely worth a look. It's a quality company, you know, with big contracts. Like I said, you know, they are in the US. This is the second contract in the US, by the way. They first of all, significant uptake of Pennsylvania pilot, access to 100,000 schools. So, and yet they do say, for the UK, we expect headwinds to remain, reflecting a focus on the NHS cost saving and acute care backlog. It's always worth looking at that because it's a read across to other companies as well, because there's other companies in this space, isn't there? Like, if you look at MTech, is it Made Technologies? They're sort of in this area a little bit, not so much just health, but they're across government departments. But you realise if the NHS is cutting back, then, you know, it's a read across to other areas.
If they are cutting back on you know, digitization projects, then they're sort of cutting back in the wrong areas because, you know, all of the companies that we've spoken about on this podcast and this video, you know, whether that's sort of feedback or DXS or, you know, intelligent ultrasound or, you know, there's a whole raft of them. You know, if you actually use, you know, their technology, Totally is another one. You know, if you use their technologies, If the digitization of the NHS is accelerated, then that will save money and, you know, improve outcomes. So, they're right to warn, because the NHS is a notoriously tricky customer to deal with. But you know, as I said the other day, surely someone, you know, in government has to come along at some point and make this happen.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I did watch, you know, Rishi Sunak's sort of thing, and he's like, is he being too short-termist? And I thought, is he being too short? And I thought, you know, a lot of there's a couple of companies came out and criticised him, you know, Ford and all that, but other companies, I think it was Toyota, didn't criticise him, say we need the time. But one thing that made sense to me is if we are aligning with the rest of the world on this 2035 date, it makes a lot of sense. But then he starts to lump it in with lots of lies, like, you don't need 7 bins. We're not going to force you to carpool. And I said, where does that come from? I've never heard any of those rules.
Hilarious. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
It blows the credibility altogether, doesn't it? If you start lying in one area and trying to, you know, palm off some, trying to sell us some other idea, you think, well, hang on, you've lied on an area here. What's all this forcing you to carpool and tax on certain things? And I don't understand that. What are you talking about?
It reminds me of the episode of Alan Partridge where he's pitching to the head of the BBC for new ideas. Yeah. Monkey tennis, anyone? It's really, you know, it's not good. I mean, it will damage his credibility. You know, and credibility in the UK is a place where you can do business and know what to expect. It does make me a little cross. I mean, you're going back to Van Nel, for example, you know, they're seeing lots of opportunities in energy, transmission and distribution, you know, because that needs significant investment. The grid needs masses of investment. But, you know, if you take your foot off the gas, no pun intended, of you know, rolling out electric vehicles, does that mean projects that are about improving the grid infrastructure also, you know, sort of... But the emphasis disappears from those as well. And, you know, these just essentially kick these decisions, this investment down the road. And it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
We do need better charging infrastructure, really, you know, before they start banning petrol cars. That is the one thing I do agree with. But then where does that come from? That's driven by private companies.
I think it was government should lead and give, like I said, a stable environment in for which businesses know where to invest and what to invest in. If you start changing the rules and stuff, you think, oh, hang on a sec. And then you end up getting no money inflow from other companies. If you go, you know, we're going to do this and it makes sense. This is cash flow.
It's all very chicken and egg. And, you know, someone somewhere has to show leadership. And unfortunately, it's not the government.
No, this is Net Cashflow. This is Cuth, by the way. So they did invest, of course. This is cash flow statement for them. They invest $3.5 million there, but they've got plenty of cash. Like I said, they got $5.9 million end of this period, and they've added $10 million replacing. So plenty of cash, and they're going to get profitability.
And but
it's one of those things. It's just a question of valuation. That's all in my mind. It's like, you know, it's a good company. How cheap can you get these shares? That's what I'm thinking. That's what I want to do, because I know it's a good company, it's a market leader. Anything else worth looking at, Johnny Boyle?
I think we've covered the main headlines there.
Covered it all. Any more chats there? For me, Prem is a trading stock and not an investment. I agree. Some great movement and spread in order to make some profit, but too high risk for me in the medium long term. Absolutely. I mean, you talk about mining, which is, you know, difficult to get away in this day and age anyway, with environmental concerns in Zimbabwe. Then you've got the issue of the government there. Diploma growth is acquisition and organic. Dog says moat is strongholds in niche markets. They're seals, for example. Yeah. They're a distribution company, no manufacturing costs. Oh.
Yeah. They're sort of bunzel-like, I would say.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit more technical specialist, so that gives them the more defensive position.
Just really odd about that thing yesterday. This news here: electric car firms still forced to sell more despite petrol ban delay. So they've still got to get down to, apparently, this zero emissions mandate. I don't know if it's going to be changed. Is set to commence in January, expected to ensure that all cars, at least 22% of cars sold, are electric. Now they're fined £15,000 per vehicle if they don't do that. This is quite interesting. And one more thing, the borrowing costs have gone up for the UK, so it doesn't look like Jeremy Hunt's going to do any tax cuts or big spending plans, because they're spending a lot more. That's another reason.
Well, they better get that meat tax out then, hadn't they?
The meat tax. What else is there? Yeah, all that kind of nonsense. If you eat too much chocolate tax, ice cream tax, all that stuff. They made up taxes, made up rules. So you come with what? Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe Jeremy Hunt was saying, listen, we are spending too much. It's affecting the government as well, of course, interest rates, because they're bonds and all that. So maybe we're just spending too much on our debt. Can you just not keep rising interest rates, Bailey, please? And maybe say, okay, we'll pause then. Thank you very much.
Room is independent.
Yeah, of course they are. Marvellous stuff. And if you like this, don't forget to hit that like button if you could, please. Just click on the like button, thumbs up, and then share it with all your contacts, you know, and subscribe. And we'll be back tomorrow, end of the week, last day. I think we could get a rally tomorrow. I think the markets are undecided what's happening here. I'm going to listen to now boring Bailey's chat to see why he's paused. But hopefully he's a bit bullish. Come on, everyone, it's not going to be negative all the time. It doesn't serve anyone. Anyway, have a nice day, John. Have a nice, thanks for listening, everyone watching. Cheers, speak tomorrow.
See you later.
Still live, I can't, if I can't find the end stream. There we are, thank you very much. By the way, we'll cover this tomorrow, but before we go, any thoughts on Aquis, AQX? We'll have a look at that tomorrow because the results are out today. So cheers. Bye-bye.
Yep.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.